And I realized, you know what? Today is September 1st. And at that moment, I recalled what happened to me 21 years ago prior on that same day of September 1st. You see, 21 years ago, I found myself at an altar. And on 09-01, I repented and God filled me with his spirit. And that same night, I was baptized in the name of Jesus. And as I held my little brush, tears started streaming down the side of my face. God started to bring back a reflection of 21 years and what he has done. You know, they sell tires and they say these are good for 50,000 or 60,000 or whatever thousand miles. But you don't really know for sure if they're good for that many miles. They tell you, there's some caveat, you know, average wear and tear, blah, 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 blah. You know, 30,000 miles later, you need a new set of tires and you're wondering what happened. But 21 years of since God opened up this truth to me, and I can promise you, the tread's not even worn down a little bit on the tire. Amen. And the promises of God are yea and amen. And I started to just think about the goodness of God. And as I was having this moment, and God, this song was playing in the background on my phone, and it was this song that just they sang actually on Labor Day picnic. You're good. You're good. You're so good. And I started to agree with the song. Yes, God, you're good. You're good. You're so good. And so while I don't have a message for you, I think together we can actually proclaim God's goodness tonight. It'll be a little bit different. And so the second part of that is I actually need your help. We're going to collaborate on this proclamation of God's goodness tonight. You say, well, I didn't prepare a message. You don't have to have prepared anything because God's been preparing you for all the years that you've known him, even before, so that you could proclaim his goodness tonight. And so throughout the remainder of the service, at certain points, I'm going to ask all of you to sing that same song about his goodness. And as we sing that collectively, we can, as a group, proclaim his goodness. And so before we go any further, tonight, instead of an opening scripture, we're going to have an opening song. And so we're going to practice this song. And if you're in the choir, you may have already practiced it. And I apologize that the choir is going to, I think, sing this Sunday. But it's a good song. It should be sung. So Brother Monday, could you lead us in this song as we practice all of our parts for tonight's service?
You are good, good.
God's will be done. Jesus. My mind just starts to race as I start to think about your goodness. God, in 21 years, we don't have time tonight to talk about the things. There's so many, God, but Lord, we ask that you would take this time that we have, the rest of this service, God, and that you would allow us to reflect on your goodness, God, and even proclaim it, and that everything we do would be according to your will and your purpose. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, if I was truly going to convey all of the goodness of God to you that's happened in my 21 years since I found out who the one true God was, we'd be here for weeks and months, and I don't even think my memory could share all of those things, so many things. And so, as I started to think about this, I realized that so many of the things that God and his goodness has shown me in my life, they start to fit into themes.
Right.
So you could say, you know, here's the goodness of God in this category, and oh, look at all the things that fall into that category. And if you've been around this thing for any length of time, I guarantee these themes will sound very familiar in places and times in your life. So if you could share slide one with us, brother, who's on the screen. Our first theme about the goodness of God is really kind of starts back at the beginning. He's good because he loved me even in my sin. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save the sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me, first Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Amen. You see, if you knew me before God got a hold of me, you would have put me into the category of least likely to be saved. You know, as the world that we live in celebrates sin, I might have been a celebrity back then. My roommates and I, we even made fun of Christianity. I remember doing community service at a church and wearing a shirt just to poke fun at them. You know, it said "believe" and it had an alien on it. Now, I knew better, but it didn't stop me from doing what was wrong. And me and my roommates, we made this fictitious cult called Lard. And so we had, on our answer machine, this is us making fun of Christianity, we had an answer machine. When you called up our house, it would say, "Press 1 if you would like more information about how to join Lard. Press 2 if you would like to accept Lard into your life. And press 3 if you would like to talk to somebody about Lard." And, right, so how many things in my life have I done that, you know, God could have right there been like, "Okay, that's it. He's done. And lightning come down." But God in his mercy, he didn't put me on the least likely to be saved list. In fact, totally unbeknownst to myself, he put me on the most likely to be saved list. And he started the process long before I had any understanding whatsoever of what was going on. And when I start to look back at the circumstances that God in his mercy put in my life, so that one day I would actually walk through that door into a spirit-filled church so that he could show me a way that was more perfect, a way that was more powerful, a way that where I could actually be successful in him.
Amen.
When I start to think about all the things in my life from a very young age and every little step along the way, he had a plan that he was working in every instance. There was never a time when he wasn't working a plan. But he was so patient. He didn't want to open up the box too soon and spoil the surprise, I guess. He had to wait till I was 21 or yeah, 21 years old to walk through those doors. And now 21 years later, I'm still here.
Amen.
How many things has God put in your life that caused you to come to a place where you walked through a door in a Spirit-filled church, that brought you to a place where you said, I wonder if there's something more, or brought you back to the place that I know there is a place for God for me that I just haven't been or haven't been in a long time? How many things has God orchestrated with that purpose all in mind? It makes me want to sing, how about his goodness? Now, you don't have to stand. But now this is where we're going to collaborate. And so, as we sing these words, I'm wondering if you could just in your minds start to reflect on all the things that God has put in your life that led you to a place where you found yourself up at an altar, where you found yourself with your hands raised, and you started to experience something that you had never experienced before. As we sing this song, could you reflect on the goodness of God? Tonight. If you could go to the next slide. See, God's so good because, unbeknownst to me, he chose me long before I chose him. We live in a world of self-centeredness, and it's all about me, 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 and what I decide and where I go and how I do it. But even in that world, in our flaws, God still has a chosen people, and he's chosen us.
Amen.
Before we even made a choice at any recognition. It says in John 15 and 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. There's another verse, if you'd go to the next slide, slide 3, that speaks to the same point. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So as I accepted this gift of salvation, and I thought I was making a choice, I had no idea that God had already made a choice before me. But as we go and as I grew, we learn what the Bible says, that God actually had chosen us. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. It's almost hard to comprehend and mind-boggling to think that a perfect, supreme, almighty God who needs nothing was interested in you and me. That he actually had purpose in our lives long before we were ever aware of him whatsoever. And that he had actually started to put things in our lives to lead us one day to the place where he could reveal himself to us. Because he had chosen us. And when you start to consider all of the people in this world, the billions and billions of people, the Bible says few there be. He chose the few that be us. As I start to wonder, well, how did I pick the winning ticket? I didn't. He picked it.
Thank you, Jesus.
You see, when we start to look back, and I can now, 21 years later, look back and see the miraculous transformation that God has taken place in my life, one step at a time, I can say, wow, God, look at what you've done. And in my own mind think, oh, this is, you called me because you knew. No, he knew all along. In fact, when he picks someone, he doesn't pick them from the place they're in and hope, well, we'll see if this one works out. Well, you know, who knows? Roll the dice. I'll pick that one and that one. No. He can see the future. And so when he picks someone, he chooses somebody, he sees the end result. And he doesn't pick anyone that doesn't have an end result. Except we choose differently. And when I start to think about how now we can cry, Abba, Father, how we're adopted into the family of God, and not just any family, a royal family, a royal priesthood. If you ever wanted to be somebody in this life, you are. We are part of this exclusive group. Few there be that God has chosen. And why is it me and why is it you? I don't know why it isn't everybody else down the street. But I'm thankful tonight that he chose me. I'm thankful tonight that he chose you. And again, as we sing that chorus, I'm wondering if you couldn't just take a moment and start to reflect and thank God for his goodness and his choosing you and I into this family, this royal priesthood, this exclusive kingdom of God.
Good.
There's no end to the goodness. And if by chance you're not sure if God has chosen you, let me confirm for you here tonight. If you're in the sound of my voice, God has chosen you.
Amen.
There is no one that ever walks through those doors by mistake, coincidence, or by their own choice. Everyone who walks through those doors has been chosen. If you go to our next slide, slide 4, he's good because he's so patient and so long-suffering. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. So long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. As we enter into this gift of salvation, as God reveals himself to us in this truth, as we realize that it was actually him who chose us and not us who chose him, as time goes on, our flesh is flesh, and it's bound to sin. It's bound to fall and make mistakes. And as we do, our flesh tries to convince us that we can, because of wrongdoing, never make it back to that same place, and that God is done with us, or our walk with God is over. But God never chooses someone who he isn't already ready and willing to be patient with. He chose you, and he knew ahead of time, still knowing, willing to be patient, to be long-suffering, and ready to do whatever it takes in order to help us make it all the way. When he calls us, when he chooses us, it's with a certainty and promise that in every situation, no matter the sin, he'll always make a way of escape. A way for us through repentance to be renewed. If you go to our next slide, slide 5, this psalm speaks of that long suffering, that patience, that willingness, not to execute judgment, but to open another door for restoration. Psalms 86 and 15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy upon me. See, in this world and even in religion, there's this notion that God is just a God of punishment, an angry God, a God that's waiting to drop the hammer on each and every one of us, a harsh judge. But if you've been around him any length of time, you know he is not quick to judge. And in fact, he's the opposite. He's quick to forgive. He's quick to restore. Always looking for the opportunity to put things back together. His love for us is so long-suffering, so patient. I lose my patience from time to time for things that probably don't even really matter. But not God. He doesn't stop being long-suffering because we screwed up one too many times. You say, well, they did it again. That was the last time. No more for them. They're done. No, his patience, his long-suffering, there is no end. It's plenteous. There's no end to his willingness to forgive and forget. If you'd go to our next slide, in slide 6. So as we go through this walk with God and we learn about his mercy and his long-suffering and his willingness to do whatever it takes to keep the relationship, we learn then too, through those instances, that he's good because he's able to pick us up when we fall. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, confessing sins doesn't really sound like a good time. But you learn, if you'll do it, that's the path to freedom and restoration. And through repentance, we can exchange those bad feelings for the relationship that we long for. There's no distance from God that's too far that he's not able to restore any one of us. If we'll simply just fall at his feet again and ask for forgiveness. In 21 years, let me tell you, God has been patient for me. I wish there was times that he didn't have to be as long-suffering as he was, but I'm thankful that he was long-suffering. My failures could have so easily been the end of me time and time and time again. But then in our own weakness, through those failures, we learn just how loving God really is. You know, no one wants to face God when we know we're in the wrong spot. It's like when somebody you walk by and they purposely look the other way to avoid any kind of conversation. You're still in the same room, but you're not on speaking terms. But as we come to our senses and we realize that, hey, if we don't make this right, things will never be the same again. And we find that place of repentance. And through our weakness and through our failures, we find out that there's a God who loves me even when I mess up. There's a God who loves me no matter how far I've gone, if I'll just come back. He's so patient and so loving because he's willing that none should perish and that we'd all come to repentance again. You know, if I were God, I would have given up on me a long time ago. But I'm so glad he didn't. Amen. How many times have you wanted to give up on yourself? But God said, no, I'm not done with you yet. Let me open up another door for restoration. Let me show you the altar of repentance. Let me restore a right relationship between you and me because I've got a place for you. Remember, I called you knowing the end result. And maybe as we sing that song again, we can reflect on the goodness of God and his willingness to love us and be long-suffering. Plenteous in mercy, no matter how many times we've done wrong, he's always ready right there to restore. He's a good God. Chance tonight, you're not on the right path. I would encourage you to simply repent. Amen. And ask a good God to restore you, to make a right spirit within you, and to forgive you so that you too can cry Abba Father to Jesus Christ. Yes. If you go to our next slide, slide 7, the words of this song say, you'll never let me down. Well, you have to go a few years to be able to look back and say that with confidence. In 21 years, God has never, ever let me down. Hebrews 6 and 17 says, wherein God is willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. When God makes an oath, you can count on it. Amen. that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. God didn't offer this gift of salvation with some hidden clauses. He doesn't apply his word here and there, but not everywhere. This world and mankind is full of things you can't trust. You know, as we mature, at first we don't realize we can't trust them, but then as mankind in this world disappoints us, we learn not everything can be trusted, and not everyone can be trusted. And then along comes God, and it's actually hard for us to believe then that we can trust God because of all these experiences we've had. Because everything else around us has a tendency not to be all that solid, but God is the most sure thing in our lives. He's so sure that he put all of his promises in writing in a book. I can't put my trust in the economy. I can't put my trust in my employer. I can't put my trust in government, but I can put my trust in God. If you go to the next slide, slide 8. He's good because he's always in control. Colossians 1 and 16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth." This pulpit doesn't exist except he created it. Well, did he fashion it? Well, in a way. First he made the tree that made the wood. And then he made the man who cut the wood. And then he made the man who stained the wood and assembled the wood. And there isn't anything anywhere that God didn't make. Everything, even the things that you can't see, he made. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. There isn't anything that he isn't before. And all things by him consist. Tonight in my imagination, I can see the power of God that holds this whole world together. You know, the scientists and their microscopes can take this and go down a level and then down a level again, and they start to see the protons and the neutrons, and then underneath that the subatomic particles, and they wonder, well, how does it all work? Well, Colossians tells us God holds it all together. He's before all things, and by him all things consist or are held together. There isn't anything that isn't in existence except the will of God put it there. And now you start to scratch your head, well, what about the bad things? Yeah, there isn't anything. There isn't any sickness. There isn't anything that wasn't there except God allowed it. All things, all substances, that he may have preeminence in all things. If you go to the next slide, slide 9. As you start to understand that there isn't anything that he isn't in control of, that he hasn't authored, that he hasn't allowed, it then starts to make it easier to accept when his will doesn't line up with our will, when his ways don't line up with our ways, when his timeline doesn't match our timeline. And he's good even when something bad happens or something we don't understand happens. Genesis 5 and 20 says, "But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." God is so good. He can use natural disasters to perform his will. He's so good, he can use my shortcomings to bring me to a place where I wouldn't have come had I not been brought to that situation in my life. He's so good that he knows everything that's going to happen along the way and how to use it to his advantage. In fact, God tends to use those most terrible, difficult situations in our lives to produce some of the most valuable things, things that could not have come into existence except God allow us to go through them. How many of us have grown the most in our walk with God, not because we were riding on the high places, but because God brought us through the valley It's then that you start to understand the goodness of God. He loves us so much. He would allow us to feel some suffering, some pain, some hurt, even sickness in our body, because he's working a plan, a good plan, an expected end. As we move to our last slide, slide 10. This list by no means is comprehensive. We could be here for days and weeks and months talking about the goodness of God. But one of my favorite attributes of God is his availability. Amen. You see, there was a time for 21 years, I didn't know you could actually talk to God or be close to God or get any kind of response whatsoever from God, that he would want to be involved with me to the place where I can actually feel the manifestation of his presence. Jeremiah 23:23 says, I am a God at hand, saith the Lord, not a God afar off. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill all heaven and all earth, saith the Lord? I'm so grateful tonight that God isn't in some far off distant place or in some unknown status, but God is so close. In fact, the word manifestation means for something that is already there to be revealed, or something in proximity to come into focus. You see, God is never away from us or distant from us. It's only our awareness of him that changes from time to time. And when we're in places like this, our awareness opens up to a place where we start to experience things like the presence and the power that we're feeling here tonight. And as I, for the first time 21 years ago, started to feel that power and that presence, I'm so grateful that he makes himself known to us, that he allows us to have that kind of a relationship. I said it on Sunday, I'm just grateful that God is real. Because for years, I read the book and I went to church, but I didn't know for sure. But tonight, I don't have any questions. If you're feeling what I'm feeling, you know he's real. He's manifesting himself to each and every one of us here tonight. And so as we stand, I think it would be good if we all proclaim one more time the goodness of God. Because he's so good.
Never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Oh Jesus,
you're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're